Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story is based on Gotthold Lessing's dramatic poem, Nathan the Wise, and was written for radio by Ben Kagan. Featured in the cast are Will Gear as Nathan and Raymond Edward Johnson as the Sultan.
Comes into the world for the delay of justice and for the perversion of justice, and on account of the offense of those who do not interpret the scriptures according to their true value.
Bear this thought in mind, listener, as we tell you today a story from antiquity concerning a sultan who pitted one religion against another, proclaiming his to be the truest, and concerning a Jew who judged not alone, for none may judge alone save one. The sultan's name was Saladin. He was a fearless warrior. He loved children and was widely known for his honesty and wisdom. He had one burning prejudice. He was hostile toward infidels and many times proclaimed,
Let us purge the air of the air they breathe.
During the Third Crusade, in the latter half of the 12th century, Saladin's armies were storming the kingdom of Tyre, while on a windy hill behind the battle lines, the Sultan impatiently awaited the outcome of the siege.
There should have been news. Why is there no news? Why no word from the generals? Is it possible, Hafey, that the enemy was stronger than anticipated, that they have set a trap, played a trick?
It is still early, Saladin. The sun...
It is early or late, depending on the interpretation one makes of time.
Sire,
there's a lieutenant coming from the front.
At last.
He's bringing prisoners with him. Four Templars who looked the worst for battle.
Good.
Poor devils, I pity them.
Come, Hoppy. For a royal treasurer, you have strange thoughts.
I only meant I pity their fate. They are so young.
The young are no less wicked than the old.
Greetings, Saladin.
Greetings. Now, what news?
The infidels are retreating, sire. On your instructions, the army is pursuing, driving them into the sea.
Thanks be to God.
So falls the last stronghold of the Latin Empire. Our task is almost done.
These prisoners, sire, the first of the infidels to be captured. I brought them with me so that you yourself may have the pleasure to decree their fate.
Have them beheaded. They're good for nothing else.
Yes, sire.
No? Oh, wait. I want to question them first. Bring them closer.
Come closer and face the Sultan. Move!
Infidels, you see now that your cause is lost. I give you my word, nothing will save you except one thing. Adopt the Muslim religion. You see, I am a merciful man. A man who believes in justice and bears no grudge against his enemies. Adopt the Muslim religion and you live. Speak up and make your choice.
Speak and answer the Sultan.
We will not adopt the Muslim religion.
You prefer to be beheaded then?
We prefer not to adopt the Muslim religion. We have our own.
Very well. You've made your choice. I'll suffer for it. They had them.
Move, infidels! Move, you unbelievers!
Well, that is done.
Yes, that is done. Poor devils.
Perhaps tomorrow or the next day we shall return to Jerusalem where we can concern ourselves with peaceful matters.
Yes, that will be a pleasant change. I much prefer to look at wine than blood.
You are squeamish, Harvey. You sometimes act, but... Oh...
What's that? Are those the horns?
Methinks they are. The signal.
Then the moment has come. It has really come.
Victory is ours. The Templars have been routed and victory is ours.
A fortnight later, Saladin's victorious army marched into Jerusalem. The people welcomed the conqueror, the man who had defeated the infidels and united the unruly East. The streets were festive, the beggars flocking from all directions. The citizenry, proud, they too becoming heroic in their adulation. For doesn't the iron pot want silver tongs to draw her from the furnace that she may dream she's made of silver too? But at the palace gates, the picture changed. It changed not for the people, but for the Sultan. The Grand Vizier had startling, shocking news.
It is about your sister, Sita, Saladin.
Is she ill? Has anything happened?
I hesitate to tell you, sire. I fear your wrath.
Fear not and speak. Has she met with some misfortune?
Well, my lord, it seems a Templar, an infidel, has escaped from Tyre.
What has a Templar who's escaped to do with Sita?
I'm coming to that. He found his way into the city and was given aid by certain unknown sources.
Have them made known and come now to the point. Where does Sita figure in this?
She is hiding him.
Sita hiding a Templar? I can't believe it.
Oh, she is, sire. There's proof.
Why? What reason? Why would she hide a Templar? Why would she hide a loathsome creature detested by all mankind? Speak.
I think she loves him.
Wow.
There could be other reasons, but I know them not. They, have been seen together in the palace gardens, and the episode is common gossip among the people.
Sita? My sister, Sita...
Please, Saladin, please listen to reason. I shall tell you all you wish to
know. I've heard enough.
I've done nothing, believe me, nothing except to spare a life.
Nothing except betray our God.
Whom does God belong to? What kind of God is this who belongs to one man who needs to be fought for by his worshippers?
Where is this Templar, this infidel?
I will tell you, Saladin, but promise me.
I promise nothing.
But you must. You must believe me, my brother. I only want to set him free.
You love him? Do you deny that, Sita?
No. That I do not deny.
Traitor.
For that very reason, I want to help him get away. Please, Saladin. I realize too well that he and I can never... I have no other plan.
And I have. The man shall be beheaded at dawn tomorrow.
Oh, no. No, Saladin, no. What harm has he done to you? Is he not a human being like yourself, entitled to his fate?
Your mind has already been poisoned by this Templar's beliefs. You speak not like my sister, but like an infidel. If for no other reason than that, the man must die. I give you 1 hour to bring him forth.
Hafey, I ask you as a friend and as a man in Saladin's confidence. Help me. Speak to my brother. Plead with him to revoke this...
Oh, that's easier said than done. Speaking to Saladin about this matter takes more than being in his confidence. I'm only the royal treasurer, not a magician, Sita.
But they have apprehended the Templar. He will be executed tomorrow morning.
I know.
Hafey, you have been my friend for many years. My friend, my brother, my father. Talk to the Sultan. Convince him that he is wrong. You, Hafey, can change his mind. You can make
it. Dear Sita, I've never been able to change the Sultan's mind, even in matters of finance, saying nothing of sparing a criminal's life.
The Templar is guilty of no crime. You know, you've told me many times that piety towards God cannot depend on our beliefs and fancies about God.
True, but in Saladin's eyes, being an infidel is crime enough.
But not in your eyes, Hafey.
My eyes are weak and do not matter greatly in this case.
You have told me many times...
That... I have. I do not find much comfort in bloodshed. I'm glad the war is over, the killing stopped.
No, it hasn't.
Just one more man. Another head will roll and...
And then his blood will be on your head.
I did not judge the man or seal his fate. You know full well I'd gladly speak to Saladin if speaking were all that's wanted in this case, but I...
Who else but you?
There is a man. A Jew.
Which Jew?
So wise and close to God himself, he might convince the Sultan of his unjust decision.
Who is this man? Where does he live?
They call him Nathan the Wise. A man to whom his God has given the greatest of all the earthly gifts. He's famous throughout the city for his practice of giving alms to the poor.
What makes you think this man could talk to Saladin?
If any man could plead your Templar's case, that would be Nathan. And if any man might want to plead your Templar's case, that would be Nathan also.
Then go find him, Huffy. Find him and ask his help. We have no time to lose.
And thus it was that Huffy went to Nathan to ask his help, and the day being the Shabbos, found him in the synagogue immersed in prayer.
Thou sustainest the living with loving kindness, quickenest the dead with great mercy, supportest the falling, healest the sick, loosest the bound, and keepest thy faith to them that sleep in the dust. Who is like unto thee, Lord of mighty acts, and who resembleth thee, O King, who killest and quickenest, and causes salvation to spring forth.
Huffy waited until the services were over before approaching Nathan. He waited respectfully until the reader spoke the last of the benedictions, and the worshippers closed their prayer books and removed their prayer shawls. Then he came to Nathan and greeted him as he emerged from the temple.
I listened to your prayer, Nathan, the benedictions to your God. They are in many ways the same as ours.
Does that surprise you, Huffy? The history of faith is common. Have we not one Father? Has not one God created us?
True. That brings me to the very subject I want to speak to you about. I come at the request of Sita. She wants your help.
Help? How can I help Sita?
You heard about the Templar she's been hiding. It was decided between us that only you can plead the Templar's case before the Sultan.
Aye.
Only you, Nathan, can make him change his mind and set the Templar free. The Sultan will listen to you.
Why better to me than to you?
Because he knows me for his treasure and nothing else. And because he knows you to be wise, unprejudiced, and close to God. Because you are a Jew and he a Muslim, and still you both respect each other's beliefs. You've learned to know and understand one another.
But the third man comes from a faith he does not understand. Engaged in open warfare with Saladin. Despised.
Yes, despised and condemned without a hearing. Do you not see the injustice of it? Remember once you told me, Nathan, despise my people if you will. Nor I nor you have chosen our people. The man's an infidel, but who's to say he's worse for it or that we are better? Do you agree?
I do agree, but obviously the Sultan doesn't.
That's why I've come to you on Sita's behalf, that you go before the Sultan and please...
But, Huffy, I have no spatial assets, no mystic hold upon the Sultan, no supernatural power, no magic tongue.
It's the will that makes the givers, Nathan, not the gift. You have the will, an asset which makes you wise.
Which all men think they are.
Still, man's truest interests, which lie concealed from vulgar souls, are not concealed from you, Nathan. This alone proves you are wise. And being wise, you are the better man to plead the case.
I can see, Huffy, that you are determined to bury me in flattery.
I'm determined to make you come, Nathan.
I cannot go today. Today's a Shabbos. Can you wait until tomorrow?
Bless you, Nathan. Yes, come tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. Saladin, I've brought a friend. His name is Nathan.
Greetings, sire.
Greetings, Nathan.
I've heard about you. Do you not call yourself wise?
No.
Well, if you do not, the people do.
He has an important message to deliver to you, Saladin.
Draw nearer and speak. I will always listen to any and all complaints, no matter at whom directed. Prove your point, and justice shall be done.
Sire, I do not wish to play with words or lead you on. I'm here on Sita's behalf to plead for justice for the Templar.
Hoppy, is this your doing?
Milord.
I do not wish to meddle, sire, only to make a statement, to state a viewpoint.
I want to hear no more about that case. The decision has been made and stands.
What can you lose by listening, Saladin? Surely you do not fear my words?
Fear? You?
I fear no man.
Then let me speak. And if I do not prove my case, if you see no logic in it, behead the Templar and behead me also.
You are confident, Jew.
I only believe in the wisdom of God. My people believe and practice it.
What else believe your people? Give me your teaching, Nathan.
Sire, I am a Jew.
And I a Muslim. And among us here there is an infidel to boot. Of these three faiths, only one can be true. Well then, tell me your views and let me hear your grounds. Which is the true faith?
I fear this is a trap. Careful, Nathan. Be very careful.
I was about to propose the identical question to you. Can you, sire, prove that one is truer, better than the other?
I can prove that mine is best because it is mine.
And I? If I prove the same thing on the same grounds, where does that leave you? And if the Templar proves his case, where does that leave us?
You are making a point, Nathan, but I fail to see it.
Sultan, let me relate to you a little tale.
Tale? Why not? Always had a love for tales when well narrated.
The time is getting short, Nathan. The hour is running out. Make it brief.
Tell on.
Well, then, many years ago, there lived a man in eastern lands who had received from his monarch a ring of priceless worth. It bore an opal stone which had a mystic power to render dear, alike to God and man, whoever wore the ring with perfect faith. Because of this, the eastern man resolved that the ring should remain forever with his people. Upon his death, he left it to his dearest son, adding the stringent clause that he, in turn, should leave it to the son he loved the most. And that in every age, the dearest son, without respect to seniority, by virtue of the ring alone, should be the lord of all the people. And thus the ring came down from sire to son, until it reached the father of three sons, each equally dear to him. And by a kindly weakness, he promised the ring in turn to each of them. Thus matters stood, until a time when the father had to think of death. And then his heart was troubled. He did not want to break faith with two of his sons to whom he'd pledged his word, and he had but one ring for all three. What was to be done? He sends in secret for a skilled craftsman.
You are the only one who can help me. You must. You see this ring? I want you to make two other rings precisely like this one, at any cost. But they must be the same, absolutely alike, so that no one will be able to know the difference.
I understand. I think it can be done.
Go now and come back as quickly as you can, because my end is near.
When at last the craftsman brings all three rings, even the father can't say which is which. And with joyful heart, he summons his three sons, but singly and apart.
For you, my son, take this ring, and may God bless you. Take this ring, my son, and may God bless you. I give you this ring with my blessings, my son.
And then the old man died. You hear me, Sultan?
Yes, I hear you.
Scarcely was a father dead when each son comes forth with his ring and claims to be the lord and master of his people. They investigate, recriminate, and wrangle, all in vain. Which was the true, original, genuine ring could not be proven. Just that it cannot be proven by us which is the one true faith.
Nathan, is this to pass for an answer to my question?
No, Sultan. It is only meant to serve as my excuse for a better answer. How could I presume to pronounce a distinction between the rings that the father purposely designed to be quite undistinguishable?
Well, go on, Nathan. Go on and prove your theory.
I will, Sultan. Let us now return to the rings once more.
Quickly, Nathan, quickly. The hour is almost up.
As I have said, the three sons brought suit against each other, and each swore to the judge he was the rightful owner of the genuine ring.
You must believe me, Judge. My father promised to bequeath the ring to me alone.
That was the truth.
He lies. My father was never false to me. He promised the ring to me alone.
And this was true also.
This is a trick, Judge. A trick by both of them to swindle me. I demand justice.
Yes. I've heard enough. I'm not here to solve riddles. Unless you bring your sire and place him before the judgment seat, I must dismiss your suit. But first, let me give you some advice. Accept the case precisely as it stands. If each of you truly received his ring straight from his father's hand, let each believe his own to be the true and genuine ring. Perhaps your father wished to terminate the tyranny of that especial ring after his death. One more thing. Of this you may be sure. He loved you all and loved you all alike. Well, let each of you now match his unbiased love, so free from every prejudice. Go forth into the world and practice what he taught you, to love all mankind with mild humility, hearty forbearance, true benevolence, and resignation to the will of God.
So ends the story, Sultan.
Nathan, I promise you the thousand years of the great judge are not yet up. Avi, call the guards.
You summoned me, Saladin?
Yes, Sita.
Where's Nathan?
He's gone.
Gone? Then nothing's changed.
In some ways, no. Other ways, yes.
It's over. There's no more hope. Oh, Saladin.
Yes, hope there is from this day forward. For you and me, dear Sita, for all our people, an era has begun.
Please tell Saladin, if the Templar's dead, then nothing matters.
Your Templar is free.
Free?
He returns now to his native land.
Oh, thank you, my brother.
Oh, no, no. It was Nathan's doing.
Dear Nathan. He is indeed a wise and kindly man. It is a pity the world has not more like him.
It has. He has opened my eyes to that. We have but to look for them, Sita, to find them everywhere. We have but to look for wisdom in the Word of God.
It has been written, where there is wisdom, there is fear of God. Where there is no wisdom, there is no fear of God. Where there is knowledge, there is understanding. Where there is no knowledge, there is no understanding.
The script you've just heard was based on Gotthold Lessing's dramatic poem, Nathan the Wise. And now we present a talk by Rabbi Max Gelb of Temple Israel of White Plains, New York. Rabbi Gelb.
Last Wednesday, we observed the first anniversary of victory. The end of the war, however, has brought no abiding peace. Millions of people in all parts of the world still live in fear and want and are denied the elementary rights to life and liberty. The drama Nathan the Wise reveals the old deep-seated causes behind our present difficulties. It portrays the evil consequences of intolerance, the folly of the claim to exclusive possession of the truth, and the tragedy of racial prejudice and religious antagonism. In the parable of the three rings, which we have just heard, Muslim, Christian, and Jew are represented as brothers, the children of one father, all equally loved by him. The rabbis of the Talmud expressed a similar idea when they said that God, in creating Adam, the father of the human race, took the dust from the four corners of the earth so that no people may ever claim superiority over any other. The sense of human brotherhood is at the root of true religion. To deny the rights and dignity of man is to take the name of God in vain. This fundamental lesson needs to be applied in all our relationships today between Muslim, Christian, and Jew, between the white and the colored races. The call of our times is for that spirit of mutual understanding and respect among all creeds, which will foster reverence for one's own faith without resorting to any disparagement of another. Our religious convictions must become a source of harmony and cooperation, not of bigotry and friction. Our common obligation, therefore, is to mobilize our spiritual resources and help uproot the poisonous weeds of intolerance from our hearts, our homes, and our communities. With one accord, we must proclaim the truth that whoever kindles the flames of hatred under any home will finally see his own house in ashes. Victory on the battlefield has not given mankind the answer to the evils which came so close to destroying all religion and civilization. It has merely cleared the way for an answer. And in the last analysis, it can be found only in the hearts of men and women everywhere who believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. The supreme task and opportunity of our generation is to translate this conviction into life.
Thank you, Rabbi Gelb. Today's Eternal Light program was written by Ben Kagan. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. Raymond Edward Johnson played the Sultan, and Will Gear appeared as Nathan. The entire production was under the direction of Ed King. This program came to you as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.